Good morning. I want to thank you all for coming. It's a real treat to learn with the boys every single day, and it's a special treat to expand the circle and to learn multi-generationally is a very special treat. This room, the boys may have told you. I'll speak more to the adults in the room. The boys may have told you that this room, this year, we've been having learning more instead of Baruch Hashem downstairs every morning this night. We have our own. Our Owen Mukomos Kabulim in the Beis Medrash, Shalom to Shalom to Zadawah, you guys. And we've been having shir every morning down the hall in the STEM lab. Not only because we believe in Torah Mava, so what better way to split our morning than the Beis Medrash in the lab, right? But it's been a great space for learning, and it's perfectly sized for 24 boys. There are six tables, each one fits four comfortably. Fantastic. Baruch Hashem, over the last 2 weeks, perhaps some of you have heard that the boys in this room have been thinking here and there, spending a couple of minutes thinking about where they might be next year. And Baruch Hashem, over the last 2 weeks, we've had a series of visiting our band from Eretz Yisrael, who have been presenting themselves, the Torah presented the yeshivas, and whenever we have visitors, we're always in this room. So the best guests of all are the guests who are in this room right now. My Shukran, I'm proud to be your Shukran, and I'm proud to share your Nachas. And this is a room where we have the Hashem guests. So this is the obvious natural space to be in. And I want to, perhaps a family morning in a different sense also, we'll have to share the podium in some sense with my Hashem brother-in-law. And I think he got us in the zone to begin to think seriously about what it is we do when we stand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one question that, if we're going to begin to think authentically about tefillah, I think one question that may begin to present itself is, will the real tefillah please stand up? By which I mean, when we think about davening, when we think about tefillah, so there are one of two images that may strike us. So on the one hand, so you might think of the WhatsApp chats, the round the clock, the hillel, and the whispering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speaking HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one's own words. They're not been perhaps one of the most famous to popularize the Hemias Halei, to popularize the Shtapas HaNefesh, to popularize just speaking HaKadosh Baruch Hu freely and fluidly, but that's something that Jews have been doing for many, many millennia. So that's one, certainly one picture of tefillah that we have is talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Things are in mind, big things, small things. We all have rough, we all go through, every human being goes through rough spots in life. And we talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu in Hebrew, in English, in Yiddish, in Portuguese, in Sanskrit, whatever it is, speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Any time of the day, just express ourselves. That's our one picture of tefillah. And then there's a very, and that might be what, free association, when I say davening, when I say tefillah, that might be what comes to mind. But then there's also the Seder. Then there's tefillah is Shmaya Esrei, tefillah is Pesukim Zimra, tefillah is the whole Seder, tefillah with all the deal, with all the structure, and one is very fluid and very natural, and the other is very formal and very structured. So will the real tefillah please stand up? Which one, they can't both have that title, they seem so different. Which one is real? Which one is actually tefillah? Question worth thinking about. If we're going to take tefillah seriously, we have to figure out what it's all about. Now, so often in learning, as we've experienced so many times in the past, and as we've had a chance, the boys and I have a chance, Baruch Hashem, to discover many times this year alone, so it's so often the case in learning that sometimes it's thinking about seemingly small questions that will bring the answer to big business. So to wrap our arms around the larger idea, it helps us first focus on one or two details. That's what we do right now. Shift gears for a few minutes, have a chance to learn about Harusa, and have a chance specifically, I'll have around McCombs in a moment, what we're going to do in particular is to zero in on one key detail. Brother-in-law mentioned that Kavanah and Tefillah is still one of the central aspects. I'll take a little bit of Kavanah for a few minutes in a technical sense. We're going to take a look past our Ramakomas in a moment that will open with two different Gemaras about Kavana, a steer that Tosfos raises, try to explore how the Rambam is or isn't dealing with this question. And I think what we'll find is that digging into what appear at first to be technical details, and hopefully what seems in the question to be narrow and technical, when the answer will be opened up a little bit larger vistas, not only understanding Kavana, understanding Tila as a whole, hopefully a useful tool in our toolbox for learning the sukkahs of Tila and for hopefully living the sukkahs of Tila as well. So I'm going to hand around my promos. Some of you are here with a family member, and some are not. So we're obviously not going to have usual services. If you're whoever is at the moment flying solo, so we'll try to make services for this morning to work in the studio. I get asked for one or two of you to help me spread the family. Families learning together. It's Mirza Shem, you have and will continue to enjoy that nachas, both in and out of yeshiva. But now let's come together as a chabura to think about this sugya together. And we opened before we dove into a brief abbreviated morning seder with a natural question of, will the real tefillah please stand up? Which is tefillah? Is tefillah the casual, informal, from the heart, my own words, Hishtaplus HaNefesh, a perfect tilling, English, Hebrew, Yiddish, Arabic, what have you? Or is tefillah seder tefillah? We call it a seder because it's mesuder, because it's orderly and it's structured and it's formal. And which is tefillah meant to be formal, tefillah meant to be informal? That's not the only caution. Where does tefillah come from? It's kasha number two. Gemara and Tanis tells us, you have this in the Mara Makamas near the last page, the top of the last page, the Gemara very beginning, the first Amar Maseches Tanis quotes a brisa, quotes a medrash, a sefrei, medrash halacha and devarim, la'avda b'chal levavchem, Torah speaks about worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu wholeheartedly. So how do you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your heart? Usually, the Gemara is bothered. We often use the term Avodah to refer to Avodah HaKarbanos. Avodah HaKarbanos is very physical, literally and figuratively, very visceral. It's very hands-on. That's not Avodah Shebelay, that's Avodah Shebiyad. So what do you do? How do we speak of being over HaKadosh Baruch Hu Belay? It's no Avodah Shebelay. Which sort of avodah is primarily of the heart, or maybe of the mind? Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in MC Yaakov, and you know, around those psukim, he thinks that the term lev
in biblical Hebrew refers not only to the heart, but to the mind as well. There must be some word in biblical Hebrew for the brain. It says in Mishnei Hebrew, it's mach. What is the biblical Hebrew? Things lev is both. Say, is the only avodah of a lev? What sort of avodah is a avodah of the heart and the mind? Heavy omer zut tefillah. A brace in the first Abba de Maseches Tanis, and a brace in which the Rambam saw as particularly central. Because the Rambam, in his count of the Tariq mitzvahs, in his count of the 613 permanent mitzvahs d'oraisa, Rambam counts the tefillah, the top of the list. Where does it come from? Where is the pasuk of Chumash? So the Rambam writes, it is this. You turn back the page to the very beginning of Rambam's Hilchos Tefillah. Mitzvah Hasei L'Tfalel B'Chayom Perek Af Halacha Aleph in Rambam's Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam is of the opinion that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven on a daily basis. Shenema. There you go. V'avazan Hashem Okeichem. We are the chiyuv to be Obed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does that mean? If you have Shmuel Lamdu, tradition teaches us, Chazal helped us to understand how to do that.
Rambam opens Hilchos Tefillah Mishnah with that. Rambam sources in earlier in Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs I say, hey, I believe it is. Rambam sources the Mitzvahs of Tefillah, once again centered around that Medrash quoted by the Gemara in the Masechet Tanis. It's not universally accepted. The Ramban disagrees vigorously. The Ramban does not think that. Ramban certainly accepts that as a concept of tefillah in Torah. It's clear throughout the Torah. The tefillah is meaningful, the tefillah there. But as a mitzvah, as a tzivui, as an obligation Ramban makes, it is not min Torah, a daily obligation. Ramban, we all agree, is a chiyuv to daven three times a day. The Ramban is even a Torah chiyuv to daven every day. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban says, no, the Alchem HaValchem means as we've had the chance to see the end of Ramchal's Hakadamah of the Seal Sisharim, and that paragraph is probably rooted in this paragraph, in the Ramban's response in the subject of the mitzvahs. He says, no, it's an adverb. It's how you do mitzvahs. To do mitzvahs wholeheartedly. If you have a chance later, you can compare the language of the Ramchal and Seal Sisharim with this paragraph in the Asagas HaRamban, very, very similar. But it raises the question. There's something strange about that medrash. And something strange, in particular, about the fact that the Rambam took that medrash as a real drasha gemara d'oraisa. What was the question that the Gemara was bothered by about that pasuk? That the solution was tefillah? What was the question?
What's this
avoda? Right. That avoda, the primary limb, the primary organ of avoda isn't the leg. It's the hands. He said, the answer is we must mean avoda tefillah. Let me ask you a question. Which is the primary organ of tefillah? Now, nope. If you're davening tefillah, the tefillah, so often will be the ear, especially the Kubas Chazal, when we rely on Shemei Kavanah more than we do now. So it's the mouth, it's the ears. From the very first Amud of Kachin, it's clear that Machshava matters tremendously in Avodat HaKarbanos as well. That's the first topic. But thought matters in Karbanos. But the organ of karbanos is the hands. So thought matters in tefillah, but the organ of tefillah is the mouth, the ears. But why is tefillah a solution? As though it's a bunch of leva, what is tefillah? You told me it's a huna. You told me some mental mitzvah. Avos Hashem, Avos Yisrael. I get it. But why is the leva the organ of tefillah more than the organ of karbanos? That's question number two. And question number one is, which is the real tefillah, formal or informal? Question number two is, why is that avodah shel lev as opposed to the pe? And then kasha number three, some of you had a chance to take a peek at the sugyan daf lamed gimel in Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara, the Mishnayos and the Gemara talk about what do you do when there's something that's taking you away in the middle of tefillah. Tefillah in the language of Chazal, language of the Tanam, not wrong. Tefillah refers not to the whole siddur, but specifically to Shmoyas, right? In the middle of tefillah, in the middle of Shemone Esrei, something occurs, there's some emergency, and you're distracting, you stop davening. And how do you get back on the bus afterwards? There's a lot to say about the sugya, but you see that the Tosfos raises the question. There's an opera in the Gemara says. There's a non-toxic snake. It's distracting, but it's not poisonous. It's unpleasant. I'm no shrinks, right? You gotta, if you can, if you're certain that the snake is not poisonous, just a garter snake, not a rattlesnake. So if you can, keep davening shrinks. But opera, it's the scorpion. Obviously, get yourself away to the same spot, and then we'll resume tefillah. Resume tefillah where? How? At what point? I was in the middle of Rifa'im. I was in the middle of Baruch Lane. I was in the middle of Ritzeh. And then all of a sudden, I have to run to safety. So where do I pick up? The Tosa says, the small Tosa on the Dilma Aleph, five lines. If you have to stop because of the opera, because of the scorpion, or Tosis discussed with Yishalma, sometimes you're going to be scared of a legitimately scared of a snake as well. You have to stop. Lo matzinu in pasach shiach l'rosh. Tosis says, I don't think you have to go back to the beginning of Shemone Esrei, right? You already said the first 5, 10 drachos of Shemone Esrei, right? You're up to, let's imagine, a milked tkah b'shofar, and then you had to move away to safety. So the Gemara didn't midlo karma. Gemara didn't say in pasach kozel rosh. Gemara didn't say you're not on the gimel. You have to restart the whole shemone esrei. The tchilas bracha miyayas. Shemone esrei is composed of a series of units, a series of brachas. If you're in the middle of kav shofar, you have to, and maybe I took the left before, you have to restart from the beginning of the kav shofar. The first whatever it was, x number of brachas were intact. I count and pick a rebrach. The Beis Yosef, several centuries later, quotes from the Abu Draham. The Abu Draham was one of the Rishonim, a student of the Ramban, the Rashba, that school of Sfarim Rishonim. He wrote a Rabbeinu David, Abu Draham, wrote a sefer on Tzvila. And the Beis Yosef quotes Abu Draham, here on the last page. Abu Draham has a question. Let's just take a look at the beginning. Tassavar here, the Beis Yosef in Sim Kuf Dalet. Beis Yosef is written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, who we know primarily as the Ofer Shulchan Aruch. Before the Ofer Shulchan Aruch, he first wrote an elaboration on the proceedings for the tour, and he wrote a Beis Yosef, which gives you all the background that Gemara Rishonim for the dinim that the tour discusses. And then he wrote his Shulchan Aruch, which is sort of like the bottom line. And he discussed the whole story of Beis Yosef. Here's how we pass it. The backstory of Beis Yosef, he quotes, here's a quote, quoting a more obscure Rishon, a Gershom Bar Shalom, was asked the following question. Stop the tefillah of the Tzara Glass. Some are upon the flood. In the middle of Shemone Esrei, it starts chatting. So chatting about the NFL, or the guy next to him, or the guy at the football game, so chatting about work, so whatever it is. The conversation with another human being smacked in the middle of Shemone Esrei. How do you talk? The question, then he catches himself. What are you doing? Where am I? So how do you get back then? How do you get back then? And sorry, block. How far back do you go? You just pick up where you're up to. You go, and if you're gonna go in reverse, and close it down to the rosh, or close the bracha shesafa. You have to just redo that bracha or go back to the instrument, right? The heishav, shetzara, lachzara, lerosh. I mean, Gershom says, I was asked to Shaila, and the answer is, you blew it. You got it. The whole Shemone Esrei up until this point disqualified. Restart from the first bracha, from Magen Avraham. And the Beis Yosef, the beginning of the second paragraph, says, "Mitoch Mashaka Safti Yishbar Shein Dasa Poskim Ken." Says we just learned Tosfos. Tosfos says you ran away from the scorpion. You didn't disqualify the first 5, 10 brachas. Just pick up the bracha in the middle of it. Which one is it? So when there's the hefsek. How ruinous is the hefsek? Tosa seems to say, okay, you stop to get to safety, pick up from the bracha you're up to. Rabbeinu Gershom, Abu Draham says, no, go back all the way to the beginning. Beis Yosef says, looks like we have a machlokas. So we're going to have to reject Rabbeinu Gershom. Is that the case? So three questions. Number one, which is tefillah? Tefillah formal, tefillah informal? And number two, Avodah Shebaleil
doesn't sound like feels Avodah Shebaleil anymore. The Kamana is Avodah Shebaleil. And finally, can we figure out a way to solve this Rabbi Yehoshua? Can we bring the Rabbi Yehoshua line with Tosfos?
Is there a way to understand why sometimes Hefsek is ruins the entire Shema Esrei, you go back to the beginning, and sometimes you just pick up, more or less, where you have to just pick up from the beginning of that brach. But to solve all these questions, take a look at the sugya that you had a chance to work on the Chavrus over the last couple minutes. And see, so two Gemaras are talking about Kavan. Two Gemaras are talking about Kavan. Dav Lama, Dav Lama, Dal. What was comparable? What was similar about those two Gemaras? What they have in common? What are those two words have in common?
One doesn't have kavanah, or you can't have it in kavanah if it's hard or impossible for him to have kavanah, what you do.
Good. So now we're both going to have Daf Lamed into the fourth paragraph of Rabbis, and Daf Lamed Dalad into the fifth paragraph of Rabbis. Both are talking about what do you do when you lack kavanah. I said the words, but without kavanah. Both the words seem to be addressed in the same fashion. And both the words, the Kavanah is very important. And not only the Kavanah is very important, the Chachila, a little more. Both the words even say, if you don't have Kavanah, it's repeat. Right? So Adkan, we're all on the same page. Where do the Kavanah differ? Where there's someone from the back room, back after room? Where do the Kavanah differ? How much, right? Very good. How much of Shemona Esrei is Kavanah critical? It was the first Kavanah saying? The whole thing. Lama says Kavanah is critical. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. What's the second Kavanah saying? Lama Dalet? Only us. Let's take a look. Inside.
The Gemara tells the story of Lama. That something was awry. It wasn't they were nervous, it didn't make sense. It didn't compute. So he's wondering what's going on. So I'm a little Zera, my time I'll be more often. So Reb Zera goes over to Rebbe. Apparently had Q&A as well. Open authentic Q&A. He asks his Rebbe, why did you do that? My time I'll be more often. Why did the Rebbe do that? Says, could it be? Ultimately comes to the conclusion that it's because they left the Yav Yav. There's a shortage of the Yav Yav. So that's why he had to repeat the Shemona Esrei. But initially he thought maybe it was, he later should go, keep it in our diet, maybe you lack Kavanah. Could it be that the Rebbe got that Kavanah? Our blood, the only Yav Yav is Asma, Yav Yav, and Bo Yisrael, and Ma'av, Al Yisrael. That a Jew needs to self-assess in advance of jumping into Shemona Esrei. Even if I'm running late to Mincha, and I hop in, and they already started the Shemona Esrei. So the natural instinct would be, let me get on board as quickly as I can. The Gemara says, wait, stop, pause, mindfulness, self, look in the mirror, figuratively, if not literally, and ask yourself, am I ready to daven Shemona Esrei? I can say the words, but can I have kavan? I have to be modatus, I have to measure myself to self-assess. If I'm ready for Kavanah, great. If not, catch your breath, focus, get in the zone, and then you'll start your answer. Kavanah is critical. And as you said, the Gemara doesn't give you any limitations. While in Daf Lamed Daled, the Gemara raises the same issue with a twist. Leaving aside the broader context of this Gemara, a line after the Gemara begins Lamed Daled and Beit, it's the Masal Abraisa, and the Sfal, we have the following Abraisa. The Sfal of Tavish Hashem is Leo Bechulam. A Jew is going to daven, really needs to have Kavanah in all the brachos. But what? Enough of Chavay Bechulam, you have this Leo Ba'achas. Ideally, you should have Kavanah in all the brachos, but minimally, if the Yotze, it needs at least the minimum to have Kavanah in one brachos. Which brachos? I would have thought that means pick a brachos. you have to have at least some unit of kavanah. Now, Roman is not trying to advise. It doesn't mean this is not choose your own adventure. We were talking about that particular problem, which is the bracha that requires kavanah, rechila, or safra, reshum chadim, the rebbe, rechila, the name of safra, in the name of one of the talmidim, or yonosti, the avos.
The one bracha which, for which kavanah is critical is Magen Avraham,
the first bracha of Shemesh. So as you said, now we have a steer.
Because Daf Lamed, Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Kavanah Ma'akeves B'chalat Tfila. But Amud Dal Beis, he said, Kavanah is ideal B'chalat Tfila, but Kavanah Ma'akeves Rav Ba'avos. Well, to be more precise, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Dal Beis is Kavanah Ma'akeves B'chalat Ba'avos. Tosus points out the stira, and Tosus says, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Beis didn't really say Kavanah Ma'akeves B'chalat Tfila, it just said, Kavod Ma'akeves. It didn't specify. It didn't limit it. It didn't qualify it. Didn't tip its hand either way. So Tosus on Daf Lamed Aleph Beis points out the stira and very, very deftly,
this is a Tosus where he doesn't really make his question explicit, but it's clear that there's an implied question that he's solving. Yechad is the third Tosus on Daf Lamed Beis. Yechad is the Ma'akat. The Hadar Rima Sokar Tafe Kios Hashachar. The first Gemara in the Lamed, the only Yamad Adam Daito of Yachal the Chavik is Palat Lav Ayisbal. When how does Lamed Dal fit with Daf Lamed? Yesh Lafarish Hasam Nami Ba'achas. Tosa says, oh, there too, that really means Ba'achas.
In other words, what Tosa is saying is that Sasam Bahadur Kabba
Farish. The Gemara in Daf Lamed just gave us a basic concept. It didn't work out with Edo. The Gemara said, Kavod Ma'akev, Kavod Ma'akevus, but didn't give us all the details. You get four blot later into the Masech. Doesn't he find out some more of the details? But Tosus is really telling us the two Gemaras are handy well. The two Gemaras work together, the basic concept appears on Daf Lamed, and then the details come along with Daf Lamed.
Which Rishon does not accept Tosus's solution? Rambam. How do you know? What did he tell you? What did he tell you that... We've had the chance already, the Chavim, to talk over the course of the year, but one of the most fundamental tools in learning Rishonim in general, and Rama in particular, well, the beginning of the Iyun is to appreciate the genre of Sefer that the Rishonim write. And the Rama in particular is a very unique style of Sefer, a unique genre of Sefer, and you can't, to ask Kashas to make you can to be sensitive to where he's driving, you have to appreciate what he's doing. We had the chance to discuss several times this year. The Rambam was not, unlike most other Rishonim whom we focus on, the Rambam was not writing Chiddush on Seder HaShabbos. He wasn't writing Chiddush at all in his mind. He was just trying to compile the maskanas of the Torah Shel Peh. Take all the conversational, rich, Babli, Rishonim, Midrashim, and so forth, and pull out all the maskanas, all the sheets we possibly like, and organize them down. So from his perspective, he's saying nothing new. But if we can reverse engineer, you notice what he quotes, what he doesn't quote, how he quotes, where he quotes, and then try to reconstruct how was the Rambam learning these circuits. So if Tosus was writing a Mishnah Torah, if Tosus was writing the sort of Sefer the Rambam wrote, how would Tosus have presented these two Gemaras? How many entries? What? Right. What would it say? Kavanah Ma'akev, specific in the first Rav. Right? It's really one day. The Brisker Rambam points out in the opening, the very first piece in his Sefer Rambam, that location is everything, not just in real estate, but even more importantly, in Mishnah Torah. Because the Rambam it was very intentional and articulated this. And one of his primary goals was to take the whole efflorescence of his conversational flow of Torah Shel Peh and bring it back into strict logical order. And location meant everything. He was trying hard to put everything where it belongs topically. So where a bit appears, which paradigm it appears, will tell you a lot about under what roof or under what heading, what's the nature of this detail. The Rambam quotes these two Gemaras in two different places. As you saw, where does the Rambam quote the Gemara Daf Lamed? In which paragraph of Hilchos Tefillah? Dalet, right? Because the parent Dalet, he's talking the language of Daf Lamed. He says, even need to be moded as atzma. Meanwhile, halacha peregud, we should follow keepers people. Open peregud, halacha al. We should follow keepers people. Yatzmi follow the kavana. And keeping the bracha mishama shemayotar. That's exactly a almost verbatim quote of daf lavadal. Kavana is very important and specifically critical in the first bracha. So Reb Chaim points out. In the Sefer of Rambam, he says the Rambam clearly did not accept Tosafot's resolution, because the Rambam accepted Tosafot's resolution to be only one issue. The Rambam is presenting it as two different views. Maybe a two different bracha. Paragdal, as you saw, is the fundamentals of tefillah. You saw the opening paragdal. He tells you in this paragraph, I'm going to discuss the five elements other than zman that are critical to the Yotzei Tefillah. One, two, your hands have to be clean, proper dress, proper a clean place. It says that there's no need to, I'm free of the need to use the bathroom. And finally, Kavanas HaLev. These are Kamisha Dvarim HaAchmes HaTefillah. And he goes one by one in organized fashion. Finally, these final two halavas, a pair of dalav, but they're not the same. Kavanas HaLev Kitzah. What do I mean when I say that Kavana is critical to Shmoneh Esrei? Meanwhile, Perek Yud, where he quotes Daf Lamed Daled, is a perek of details. A perek of the nitty-gritty details. Because he goes on right after this din to talk about Tava Atmos Mishalosh Barakas Akronos to Yaksu Avoda. He gets into the details. I left that Masher of Murdak Hashem, I left that Sikha Matul Baraka, Yalav Yal, all of the nitty-gritty important, critical din, the details. That's the focus of Paragyud. Paragyud is the big picture. Dvarim Ma'akas HaTefillah. Paragyud are the details. Rambam is very clear that subtle but clear, once you notice, that he's seen these gemaras very, very different. The first one, Daf Lamed, Kavana, this is a shining, big, major, fundamental focus. And so the second Kavana is only Ma'akas and the Brach Rishon, but that's an important detail, but a detail. Not central, it's peripheral. So Reb Chaim says it must be that we're talking about two different types of Kabbalah. Kabbalah means intent. Literally, the Chavein is the direct. You direct the arrow, the aim of God, the Chavein. I aim my heart. Where am I literally concentrating? Where am I focusing? Where's my intent? So Reb Chaim says there are lots of things we can think about during Shemesh. When I say Kabbalah, we'll go back to that free association before. When I say Kabbalah, so, if I ask you, what's going to be Dabu Kabbalah, Dabu Dabu? What would it look like to Dabu Kabbalah? What's going on in your head? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about otherwise?
Tefillah.
Okay, good. Meaning? What do you think about Tefillah? What tool might you pull off the shelf to help me out Kabbalah? Paragyud, but Paragyud, he actually defined what Kabbalah is.
make with Mashmina. And you visualize, you imagine your face to face through Goshal. That's why a person has to prepare himself, you don't just jump into Shemar Esrei, you sit, you calm, you prepare yourself, you say Asher, you say Pesach the Zimra, you get in the zone before you drive into Shemar Esrei. So Chaim points out, what does not appear here? Right, the words aren't here. There's nothing but content. It's all about recognizing you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch. So Chaim says, where is Kavanah's Pirush HaMilus? That's number two. Kavanah number two is Kavanah's Pirush HaMilus. And that's important, but a detail. Fascinating. Kavanah number one, which is actually central, fundamental to davening, is Kavanah's Omer L'Fnei Hashem. That's what he said. Perek Dal HaChatazayin. The Kavanah of, I'm in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is that? Let's push one line more. Look back at Perek Dalet Halacha Tezvah. Where he opened by telling us that Kedavah without Kavanah, which we have seen times suggests is the Kavanah, Kavanah's Omer L'Fnei Hashem, then you gotta read Dalet. That's what the Gemara had said. Right? You gotta read Dalet. But the Rambam seems to be a little redundant. He says it twice in two different ways. He doesn't just say, in the middle of the first line of the Halakha Tezvah, in his Palel below Kavana, Chosu's Palel below Kavana, Vidav Nav Kavana, Gadar Vidavin, the practical instructions, but he begins at first with a more essential statement. Kol Tfila Shain the Kavana, ain't a Tfila. Tfila without Kavana isn't Tfila. That's not called Davin. And therefore, obviously at this point, if you with Baal HaKavanah, you gotta redo it. So why is Rambam being, why is Rambam repeating himself? And why is he being so essential about it? Just tell me, Lamasa, you down Baal HaKavanah, so you gotta redo it. So Chaim suggests, could I take a look? It's a half a way, you blink, you miss it. He says, it's not just a detail that you're missing Kavanah, you're not going to say. Chaim suggests, this is part of the din of Misasa. Gemara has a concept that, you know, sometimes I do an act b'mezid, I fully appreciate what it is I'm doing and why. Sometimes I do an act b'shogi, where I don't realize the halachic implications. Fellow didn't really. He knew he was warring the plants, he forgot Shabbos. He knew he was warring the plants, he forgot, or didn't know that sometimes I'm allowed on Shabbos. So then you're less liable, less culpable, if you don't realize the implications of what you're doing. But then there's an even lesser level, where a Jew is not a shogi, but a disasid. Not that he doesn't realize the halakhic implications of what he's doing, but he doesn't realize what it is that he's doing. If he was slicing tomatoes and didn't even realize that they were attached to tomatoes on the vine, then the vine goes out the window and down to the ground. He didn't even realize that by cutting the tomato half, he's detaching half of it from the ground. It's not that he didn't realize the halakhic implications, he didn't realize what he was doing. He lacked kavanas pu'ula. You're a misasik, according to many Achronim, it's as though the act does not relate to you whatsoever. An act done without awareness of what you're doing, ki'ilu lo lasa. So Chaim suggests, half a line, that's tefila, she'ein in the kavanah. If you lack kavanah from the Hashem, that's it ain't a tefila. Not just you're missing a critical detail. That's not called davening because you're a misasim. You didn't realize what you're doing. You were davening in your lens, you're davening. Got that? One second. I didn't know that was davening. I came to shul, I opened it, I put a tassel on, I opened the siddur. I never say Shmona Esrei. I just wasn't focused on the fact that I'm talking to God. I knew that was davening. So we see, and here's where Brisk meets Breslov. We see that the definition of tefillah is not saying words. Saying words is the how, it's not the what. The definition of tefillah is Omer L'Fnei Hashem. The definition, the essence of tefillah is that I'm in the presence, I get to sit down for coffee with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So often, a meeting that begins a relationship, whether it's a personal relationship or a business relationship, I might not remember what we spoke about the first time we met. And it, in retrospect, often doesn't even matter. It wasn't so much what we said, but it was the spending time together. It would have been awkward just sit there and stare at each other. So obviously we had a conversation. But sometimes the content is key. But often it's the interaction. It's being in each other's presence. That's what Chaim implies about tefillah. Of course, I'm just going to stand there and stare, but the words are the tool. They're not the essence. Tefillah is Omer L'Fnei Hashem. If I knew I was saying words, but I didn't realize realize that it depends on Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's I didn't realize I was being mispalel. To be mispalel is to be in the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And now things begin to fall into place. Because working backwards, not only do we understand now why Kavanas Omer L'Tzei Hashem is central, Kavanas Pir Shamilas is secondary, but working backwards, a hefsek because there was a, as Tosis discusses, there was a dangerous scorpion, so there was a technical hefsek. I was in the middle of tefillah, and then I had to stop, and then I continue. So pick up the bracha that you left off in. But soft ends up to your shoozing? That's not just, you took a break. That doesn't mean you stopped. That's antithetical to tefillah. You weren't the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you're shoozing about anything with the fellow next to you. So that's a far more ruinous hefsek that you got to start from the beginning again. And then question number two. Avodah Shebelei.
It is. That's exactly what that verse is saying. You use your mouth, but the primary locus is your awareness, the lay, your heart and mind, that in the presence of Kadosh Baruch. And finally, which is the real tefillah? Is it formal or informal? The answer is yes. The answer is both. It's different methods of doing the same thing. Whether I'm Chazal established a basal, the minimum amount, a method of tefillah, of spending time in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the very least, three times a day, at least with this context and this minimal conversation appears in the center. If you want to do more, Kol Ma'amar is in a Shukah. Even though it looks different, but whether I'm dialing from the center, I'm expressing my thoughts naturally, either way, I'm open to the Hashem. And let me leave you, even the bell already rang, the following very brief challenge. A challenge, an opportunity, a thought to take forward. It's a 2-minute challenge. We're all busy, Baruch Hashem, busy openly with good things, but Mesama we can afford 2 minutes a week, 8 minutes over the course of a month. Imagine the following. Imagine if you, before Shul started Shul Esrei, 22 times a week, you took out 5 seconds, not a lot, but we're not used to not moving for 5 seconds. Imagine 5 Kol Yisrael, and then before jumping into Hashem's Sanctum, just stop for 5 seconds. No Kabbalistic Kabbalists, just the following. I'm about to speak Tekrash Baruch. I'm about to be face to face with Rebbe Moshe. Simple, real. 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just 5. That's exactly the thing we said. That a Jew, Perek Dalel Lachat as well. A Jew prepares for 5 seconds. 2 minutes a week, 8 minutes a month. Try it for a month. This is not Nedesh Mood of a Rabbit. If you want to try this for a month, you may find that it's transformative because it plugs us in to what tefillah really is. I both said thank you so much for coming. Whether you're here every day or not, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to more opportunities. Please feel free to be in touch.